Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Nixonland, The Rise of a President and the Fracturing of America is a Major Work of American Political History by Rick Perlstein. Rather than offering a conventional presidential biography, the book examines the turbulent years from the mid-1960s through Richard Nixon's re-election in 1972, showing how public conflict, electoral realignment, and cultural anxiety reshaped the United States. Perlstein argues that this period marked the emergence of the modern political divide, with Nixon skillfully channeling resentment among voters who felt threatened by protest movements, civil rights changes, anti-war activism, and elite liberalism. The book combines narrative history with political analysis, using elections, riots, conventions, and media events to explain how polarization became central to American life. Its purpose is both historical and interpretive to reconstruct a specific era and to show why its divisions continue to matter in the present. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Richard Nixon as the political entrepreneur of resentment. A central argument of the book is that Nixon was not simply a beneficiary of turmoil, but an active strategist who learned how to turn social frustration into electoral power. Perlstein presents him as a figure who understood the language of grievance and recognized that many voters felt alienated by rapid cultural change. By appealing to the silent majority and to Americans uneasy about protests, urban unrest, and liberal reform, Nixon assembled a durable coalition out of discontent. The importance of this point is that it explains his rise as a political achievement rooted in emotional identification rather than in traditional policy persuasion. Nixon's success depended on framing politics as a struggle between respectable Americans and disruptive enemies, which helped him dominate a period of instability. This approach also reveals why his politics had consequences beyond one campaign. It normalized a style of partisan mobilization built around fear, identity, and resentment rather than consensus. Secondly, the 1965 to 1972 period as the birth of modern polarization. Perlstein treats the years between the Watts riots and Nixon's re-election as a transformative political era, not a temporary crisis. He argues that these years functioned like a second civil war in symbolic and political terms, with Americans splitting into two camps that regarded each other as fundamentally illegitimate. The book tracks how riots, anti-war protests, racial conflict, an escalating distrust of institutions made compromise harder and sharpened the sense of national breakdown. This matters because the book does not present polarization as a recent phenomenon. Instead, it locates its roots in the social and electoral upheavals of the late 1960s. By doing so, Perlstein explains why later American politics became organized around antagonism, media spectacle, and zero-sum competition. The book's historical value lies in connecting familiar contemporary divisions to specific events and choices in this earlier period, showing that the political culture of today was built through conflict long before it became fully visible. Thirdly, Franklins and Orthogonians as a model of class and status conflict. One of the book's most distinctive analytical devices is its division of American society into Franklins and Orthogonians, terms drawn from Nixon's Whittier College background. The Franklins represent the socially privileged, polished elite. The Orthogonians represent strievers who see themselves as excluded from power and status. Perlstein uses this framework to explain how Nixon positioned himself as the champion of the latter group and why that message resonated so strongly with many voters. The idea is not just about economic class in a narrow sense, but about status, cultural legitimacy, and the politics of recognition. This lens helps explain why resentment could be politically potent, even among people who did not see themselves as materially deprived. The book uses the contrast to show how political identity was increasingly organized around who felt respected, mocked, or ignored by national elites. That makes the Franklins and Orthogonians framework one of the book's most useful tools for understanding how social division became electoral power. Fourthly, how Vietnam, civil rights, and protest movements destabilized liberal consensus. The book situates Nixon's rise within the collapse of the post-war liberal order, which had appeared secure after Lyndon Johnson's 1964 landslide. Perlstein shows that this consensus unraveled under the pressure of Vietnam, civil rights Sangharsh, student activism, and urban unrest. These developments did not merely create background noise. They altered public expectations about authority, legitimacy, and national purpose. For many Americans, the liberal establishment seemed unable to maintain order or explain the country's direction, while for others, the reforms and protests themselves signaled necessary moral progress. Nixon exploited this split by casting himself as the defender of order against chaos. The book's analysis is significant because it shows that the conservative resurgence was not simply ideological. It was built on a sense of crisis and exhaustion with liberal governance. Understanding this context helps readers see how the political language of law and order, respectability, and majority rule became so effective during the period and why it had such lasting influence on later campaigns. Lastly, a history that ends before Watergate but explains why Watergate was possible, although Nixonland is closely associated with Nixon's eventual downfall. The book deliberately ends with his re-election in 1972 and only touches Watergate indirectly. That choice is important because Perlstein is less interested in scandal as a standalone event than in the political world that made increasingly extreme behavior seem rational to Nixon and his allies. He presents Nixon's paranoia, his sense of embattlement, and his conviction that defeat would mean national ruin as outcomes of the same polarized environment he helped create. In this sense, Watergate appears not as an isolated moral collapse, but as part of a broader political logic in which winning became inseparable from survival. This makes the book different from a standard Nixon biography. Its focus is structural and historical, not merely personal. Readers looking for a full account of Watergate will need another book, but readers seeking to understand the conditions that produced it will find Perlstein's ending appropriate. It shows how a political culture built on suspicion and division could eventually turn destructive for the president who had mastered it. In conclusion, Nixonland is best suited for readers who want to understand how modern American polarization took shape, especially those interested in political history, the 1960s, the rise of conservatism, and the cultural roots of partisan conflict. It is especially valuable for readers who prefer history that connects elections and public events to deeper shifts in identity, class feeling, media tone, and civic trust. The book offers more than a chronology of Nixon's career. It explains how resentment became a political force and how the language of order versus chaos came to dominate national debate. Compared with standard Nixon biographies, its main difference is scope and interpretation. Perlstein is not simply recounting a presidency. He is reconstructing the emotional and political environment that made Nixon's ascent possible and durable. That gives the book lasting relevance, because its subject is not only one leader, but the structure of division that still shapes American politics. For readers trying to understand why the present feels so fractured, Nixonland provides a historically grounded and highly influential explanation. If you would like to support Rick Perlstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.